Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murraysville. You know, Christmas here at Bridge City Church is really simple. It's just Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do, you may see a lot of things, but it's really all about Jesus. We want to point people to Him. And we rearranged the room a little bit just to change things up. We're going to have a brunch once we're finished in a little bit. But anybody who wants to stick around for waffles, sausage, eggs, and fruit, and coffee, and fellowship, and hanging out, we have that available for you if you want to do that. But we want to make this, everything we do, all about Jesus. Because He literally is the reason for the season. Right? He is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Beyond the gifts, beyond all the stuff, all the meals and the family and the travel and the plans, it really is all about Jesus. It's about the name of Jesus. And today's message is really focusing on the names of Jesus. The names, that powerful, beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus. And where He got that name from and why do we use that name thousands of years later. You know, names matter. Names are important, right? Because our name is our identity. Often it's our reputation, as people know us by our name and our reputation that precedes us. And there's a lot of studies that show there's no better sound, no sound that we enjoy hearing more than our own name. They've done studies where people are in comas, completely in a vegetative state, but when they speak their name, there might not be a response, but there's something neurologically that happens, that they elicit a positive response. There's a great deal of effort that goes into naming somebody. My wife is pregnant and we're due in a couple months, and there's a lot of effort that goes into naming a baby, right? Anybody name a child before? There's a lot of effort, a lot of planning and praying and processing. God, what's the name you want for this child? It's gonna be their name for the rest of their life. It's a big, big deal. It's interesting to note, nobody names their kid Lucifer. Right? Or Jezebel or Judas. Like you don't hear anybody named those names, but there's other names that give us good feelings, right? Like Sidney Crosby. Most people elicits a positive response. Or Mario Lemieux. Notice I'm intentionally not using Steelers names. They did win last night. Mason Rudolph is a positive name right now. All right. Rudolph came and saved Christmas for the Steelers last night. But how about Mr. Rogers? Anywhere around the world, around the country, you say Mr. Rogers, people feel good about it. There's a good name that's spoken and that elicits a response. But the name of Jesus should elicit a response. Is it a positive one? Is it, quite honestly, some people, the name of Jesus, it makes them uncomfortable. It makes them maybe afraid. It makes them have feelings or thoughts from something that was unpleasant in their life or in their experiences. But really looking at Christmas, it's literally in the name. Christmas is the mass of Christ, those who follow. The reason we have Christmas is we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. This is all for His birthday party, is how I like this. We're having a birthday party for Jesus. We're celebrating Him, right? And what a shame it would be not to invite the star of the show, right? To make sure that everything we do around Christmas is all for the one whose name is above every other name, the name of Jesus. We're going to look at the Christmas story. I'm going to look at some verses in the New Testament out of Matthew chapter 1 into chapter 2, and then looking at where we get the name of Jesus from. So starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly." See, Mary is engaged to Joseph, and culturally at the time, she would have been probably a teenage, like upper teenage girl, somewhere in her teen years. It was common for women to be married to men at that time, at that age. And before she was with Joseph, so before she was married to him, before there's any relations there, she was given the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her and she became pregnant. Now imagine this teenage girl at the time that I picture Mary, like she's writing her name like a lot of young girls do and maybe older girls do. Mary, the wife of Joseph, like she's writing her name. Mary plus Joseph equals heart. And probably this is what she was dreaming of, like this moment. She just wanted to be married. She didn't ask for God, the Holy Spirit, to get her pregnant, to birth the Messiah, the chosen one of the world, right? But she still says, whatever you say, let it be so. She says yes to what the angel Gabriel told her. But to Joseph, now he's engaged to her. She gets pregnant, and he's going to do the right thing and break off the engagement and just, you know, not disgrace her publicly. He's a good man. But as he considered this, in verse 20, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, it's interesting, throughout the Christmas story and really throughout the Bible, we see a lot of do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I think not just because they're face to face with an angel, but at times we have fear that creeps into our lives. We have a lot of things, maybe circumstances or situations, that can cause us to have fear or to be afraid. But God is always in the business of faith, of overcoming fear, of pointing us to not be afraid, but to trust and have faith in him. And that's exactly what the angel of the Lord says to Joseph. Do not be afraid, for the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You are to name him Jesus. That name Jesus, it means Savior. It means God saves, to deliver, to rescue. Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. The angel would have probably spoken in Hebrew to Joseph, the language at the time, and said, Yeshua. You're to name him Yeshua. Now, people see there's a difference in Hebrew and Greek, the two different languages. The Old Testament was written in primarily Hebrew, which is Joshua is where we get the name from Yeshua. So Yeshua translates in Hebrew to Joshua, and the New Testament, written in Greek, it's translated to Jesus. So Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, it really all points to the same name that was given to Jesus at this time, of Yeshua, which means to rescue, that God saves. His name literally meant God saves, Yahweh saves. It wasn't just a cute name that was given. That's often how we pick names for our children, but this was his identity. This is who Jesus is, that he is the one who saves us. You can see, and all of this occurred in verse 22, all of this that happened, the angel showing up and the way Jesus was born and his name was given to him, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through this prophet, through the prophet Isaiah. He says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. See, this is quoting in Matthew 1, 22 and 23 here, he's quoting from the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah. Written about 700 years before the very first Christmas, we see the prophecy fulfilled, that there's something spoken about who Jesus is. He says, the virgin will conceive a child. What an amazing sign that God gives his people. Say, this is how you're going to know that this is the Messiah. Because there are people that come before Jesus, they claim to be God, they claim to be the Messiah, they claim to be the chosen one, but none of them were conceived from a virgin. That the virgin birth is such a significant sign that God gives us to show that he's going to give us a son. He's going to give himself through a virgin to conceive this child, that he is God with us. Emmanuel is not his name, but it's who he is. Jesus is God in the flesh. It's his presence with his people. You know, throughout scriptures, there's 420 different names or attributes or titles given to God. The Old Testament, New Testament, there's over 420 names of God or attributes or characteristics of God. Now, I think, why so many? Why so many different names? And I believe it's because it's trying to capture the grandeur and the awe of who God really is. He is so big. He's so great. There's not enough English words to describe how big and magnificent and awesome God is. But we try by giving him 420 different names and titles and ascriptions and descriptions to try to capture the grandeur of God. As we study and as we read and as we sing the names of God, it should reveal to us how big and how great God really is. That we can't bottle them up into just one or two or three things, that there's hundreds and hundreds of ways to know God. So we see four of those significant names of Jesus in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. And one of the songs we were singing this morning as well as last night, and a very commonly known verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. This is speaking, again, 700 years before Jesus came, speaking about Jesus. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Both of these words, a child and a son, speaks to Jesus' humanity, but also his deity, that Jesus was fully God and fully man, that the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names, as we sing about him, it points to who he is. It points to his identity. It points to who he is to each of us in different areas or different seasons of life. This Wonderful Counselor, the Hebrew words for Wonderful Counselor, is something uncommon and out of the ordinary. Wonderful, we use wonderful a lot for different things. Like, oh, that's wonderful. That meal was wonderful. That service was wonderful. That movie was wonderful. But wonderful, this English word doesn't even have enough to explain the magnitude of who God is. The wonder and awe of God is so much greater than anything we could ever compare him to here on earth. It reflects a phenomenon lying outside the realm of human explanation. The Holy Spirit is referred to as our counselor as well, that he is our counselor, which is a wisdom, our guidance. It's like a compass pointing us in the right direction. Maybe you're here today and you need some direction in your life. Maybe you need some guidance in your life. Maybe you need somebody to point you in the right direction. Where is God leading you in your next step, in your journey with him? God is that wonderful counselor. That the word of God is our true north. It's the thing that does not change. It's always pointing us back to Jesus, pointing us in the right direction. He's called Mighty God. The word mighty there is a hero, a champion, a strong man. Then there is power in the name of Jesus. That's what we were just singing about, right? The power of the name of Jesus, the power of a mighty God, that the name of Jesus overcomes every other name. That whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever struggles you have, the name of Jesus is higher and greater than every other name. That there is no other name by which we can be saved. When you feel attacked, when you feel overwhelmed, when you're feeling brokenhearted, when you're feeling like grieving and lost and lonely, call out to the name of Jesus. Call out to this mighty God who can rescue you. If you feel like you're walking in darkness or God is being silent, I believe God is setting you up for him to show up in your life. You know, in Genesis, it says, out of darkness, God spoke and created. He spoke, let there be light. Let there be life. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, out of darkness. We see in the New Testament, in Matthew, it says, there was darkness. There's hundreds of years of darkness where it appeared like God was silent. Jesus showed up as the light to bring eternal life. That when there seems to be or when there is darkness, God brings light and life. He creates something good. It's his specialty. The third thing here is everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. You know, what happens often is we compare God to our earthly father. Often the way we view our earthly father is how we view our heavenly father. And that can be distorted. That can be, whether you had a good dad or not, it paints a picture of who God is that is limited to our earthly father. But God is a faithful father. He never fails us. He never lets us down. He's an everlasting father, an eternal one that never ends. His love and his mercy and his grace never ceases when we continue to pursue him as our father. See, God wants to create a family. See, church to me, the first thing, if you say, what's church to you? First thing to me is it's family. This is family. This is the house of God. We welcome you in to eat and to share together, to have a meal together, to worship together, to hear the word together. It's family. God came not to make servants and slaves, but to make sons and daughters. That if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a son or a daughter of his. He came to create children, create a family of God. And that's what you're a part of when you come to be a part of a church body. You get to be a part of a church family. And he is our everlasting Father. The fourth thing there is the Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew, it's Shar Shalom. It's the Prince of Peace, the absolute authority and ownership of peace. It actually means the one who removes all peace-disturbing factors and secures the peace. It's actually used in a lot of times, this Prince of Peace, as a sign of somebody who goes to war to bring peace for something they're protecting. Jesus did that. He left heaven, came to earth. He went to war against sin, against the devil himself to bring us peace. He had to go to a horrible death on the cross to be buried and rose again. He declared war upon our sin and upon the grave, and he overcame it to bring us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's not just removing all of our problems, but it's giving us peace through our problems. It's giving us the ability to have this peace because we know who is the Prince of Peace. So what response should we have when we come to know God as a wonderful counselor, as mighty God, as everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Why don't we look at a part of the text in Matthew 2, the next chapter as we continue the Christmas story. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Have you ever noticed how many historical facts and information and details are given throughout the Bible? There's a lot of details and history and dates and times and locations that are all factual in the course of history. This is one where he's born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. We see that in other parts in Luke where it says the census, the first year of census, where Quirinius is taking the census. Like, there's a lot of details and historical facts to prove the validity of the Word of God. We can stand upon the Word of God because we know that it was written in history. It's fact. It's not just make-believe or myth. It's facts. These are things that actually took place. But we see these wise men who came from eastern lands. They arrive in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. These men in the Greek text, it says they're magi. And just to bring some clarity, that magi doesn't equal kings. Nothing in the text says that they were definitely kings. It doesn't say there were only three. There could have been more. It could have been less. It could have been, there's men, so there's plural. But the point of it is there's wise men, these magi. Magi, by definition, is sorcerers, studiers, astrologers. Eastern astrologers would probably be more accurate because they were studying the stars. They were studying things in the sky. But these wise men that came, they studied the sky. The star led them to Jerusalem. They saw the star as it rose, and they've come to worship him. You know what happened? They came to Jerusalem because that's the center of religious activity. This would have been the place where they would have come to expect to see the king of the Jews. It's interesting because King Herod at the time, he was the king of the Jews. Right, King Herod was the one who was named the king of the Jews, but yet here they come saying, where's this newborn king of the Jews? And in fact, it says King Herod and all the people around became very upset and disturbed by this information. The people were probably disturbed. What was King Herod going to do? It says King Herod, he tricks them. He says, go find this king of the Jews, this newborn baby. Come back to me because I want to worship him. The reality is King Herod wanted to kill him. It says, so the men leave in verse 9, after these wise men met with King Herod. After this interview, the wise men went their way. The star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw that the child was with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's so many interesting points about this story, but one of the things I love most is that these men, they didn't just see a star. They didn't just study the text. And, you know, they probably had the text of Daniel. They would have some scriptures from the Old Testament that pointed them to see this star. And they knew enough to follow the star because it was going to point them to the newborn king of the Jews. They followed. They left the comforts of their home, of their own lands. This would have cost them a lot of money. It would have taken a lot of time and effort to travel to Jerusalem, to travel to Bethlehem. It says they're following this star. Well, when do you see stars out? At nighttime, when it's dark. It's often in the darkness when we can see the light. It's the light shines brightest in the darkest moments. Maybe you're in darkness right now. Maybe there's a family member, a friend that's close to you that they're going through some darkness. They're all looking for a star. We're all looking for the star of Jesus that points us to him. It says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. It brought them such joy. They were so excited. They were overwhelmed with joy, as some translations say, and it pointed them to a house. I think it's amazing to think that they showed up first at the temple. They showed up in Jerusalem, and he wasn't there. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, of the newborn King of the Jews, if there was a place that he was going to be born, I think most of us would think probably the nicest birthing suite, right? He's the king. But instead, he chose to be born in a manger, in a lowly house, in a small town called Bethlehem, where shepherds nearby, there's animals are nearby. He didn't come in a perfect world, in a perfect situation, at a perfect time. He came into the mess, into the lowly place. He left heaven and came to earth to enter our mess. These men, these Eastern astrologers, they showed up and their response was joy, and they bowed down and they worshiped this newborn baby because they knew who he was. They knew his name to be Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. It says they opened their treasure chest. They gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That should be our response, that we would seek Jesus. We would follow the signs, follow the Bible that points to Jesus, that we'd want to long for him, and we'd have joy when we encounter him. We'd bow down and worship him. And we'd open our treasure chest to say, I want to give to you, God, because you're so worthy of everything I have. How many of you ever seen the movie Elf? Anybody? I'll connect it, I promise. There's a scene in Elf where Buddy the Elf, if you haven't seen it, hopefully you can still follow this, where he's in a store. It's a retail store. And the manager says, hey, everybody, tomorrow Santa's coming. And Buddy goes, Santa! You know what happens? Buddy is so excited because he goes, I know him. I know him. Buddy was raised by elves. He knew Santa. He had a relationship with Santa. Santa was real to him. Everybody else, it was just another guy. I think, what could we learn from that? We hear the name of Jesus. We hear an attribute of God. We should say, Jesus, I know him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. I've been with him. It shouldn't just be he's another guy. It should be Jesus, I know him. I can't wait to see him. And we get so excited, more excited than Buddy got when Santa's coming. Because Jesus is the one who rescues us. Jesus is the one who's redeemed us. Jesus is the one who has saved us. How much more should we want to know him, to know the names of him, to understand who he is and how that impacts and affects our lives? Would you please stand to your feet? I want to pray a blessing over you. A blessing. I believe God wants to reveal more of him to each and every one of you, so that we could say, I know him. I know him. I don't just know about him. I know him. He's my rescuer. He's my savior. He's my Lord. I know him. I have a relationship with him. If you need anything from God right now, you need the light into your darkness, you just want to know him, you need counsel and guidance, maybe you need a mighty miracle of healing to take place in your life or a family member's life, you need to know him as Father, to comfort you, to care for you, to protect you. Or you just need more of the peace of God. I need more of the peace of God in my life. How about you? Anything at all that you say, I just want more. I want more of him, more of Jesus. I want to pray for you. You can open your hands, stretch out your hands to heaven. However you feel comfortable, say, I want more of Jesus. That's all you're saying. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person whose hands are raised or open for you, God. They need a receive from you, Father. For those who need counsel, God, I pray for counsel and guidance and direction. God, for those who need you to do a mighty miracle, Father, I pray for a release of healing, a release of your might, your power, your strength. God, to bring hope to situations that seem hopeless, to bring life to situations that seem like they're dead and gone. God, that you are in the business of redeeming and reconciling our messes. God, I pray for those who need a father, who maybe never had a good earthly father, that God, you would show yourself to them as a faithful, loving, caring father. God, that you would show up to each and every one of us who need more peace in this season, especially as we look ahead to New Year. God, that your peace would fall upon each and every one of us. God, that we'd have peace through family situations. We'd have peace through Christmas and New Year. We'd have peace when the world around us seems to be falling apart and falling into darkness. God, I pray your peace would come. Father, I pray a blessing on each and every person here, every family represented, every household. God, that we would remember and we'd celebrate you, Jesus, as the one who has saved us. Father, we make this Christmas all about you. Just Jesus. We celebrate you, we worship you, we thank you, Jesus, and we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be